Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hey, what's going on, Alex? Like, number one, man, congratulations for all your success down there in KC. You know, you and Cody do a terrific show. You guys are awesome. And it's great to be on in Kansas City, man. It's been a while since I've been on the air in Kansas City.
Thanks, man. Yeah, the check's in the mail. And yeah, it's been a bit. It's been a bit since we've been talking some football together a little bit. And the last time, you know, the Chiefs and Texans had a game even close to this magnitude was, of course, that playoff game. And we all know the story there with the Chiefs' big lead and ultimately the collapse from Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien at the time. Fast forward to this year, I feel like this game preseason felt like it was going to be a bigger matchup with Stroud and Mahomes. And what's happened for Stroud and the Texans this year? They're going to be in the playoffs. They won the division already, but he's not been the same quarterback.
Yeah, it's hard to be the same quarterback when you're always getting your ass kicked. You know, go figure. You know, the Texans' offensive line, they came into this season. You know, last year they had a lot of injuries on the offensive line. They were on, like, center four and tackle five and guard eight. I mean, you're just bringing in anybody and everybody who can play. And they had a piecemeal of the offensive line together most of the year. This year they came in with their starting five healthy, and they were worse. And they weren't just a little worse, Alex. They were, like, oh, my God, worse. And this is a team that, you know, they kind of changed the blocking scheme this year. They've changed up a lot of the formations. You see the Texans go with these condensed formations a lot. And it's made it more difficult for them to identify blitzes, identify stunts, identify who's a rusher and who's not a rusher. And this has resulted in C.J. Stroud already being sacked 45 times this year. That's seven more times than he was sacked all of last year. And he is like the most highest pressured quarterback in the league. It's ridiculous. And it's hard to look downfield and find those plays on the run, you know, find those plays and those scramble drills when you can't look downfield because you're looking 5 feet in front of you to see if you're about to get clubbed. And that has been the biggest issue for the Texans all year long is they have been awful at keeping seven on his feet.
It's interesting you bring that up because it sounds similar to some of the conversations we're having here about the Chiefs' offensive line, which certainly has had plenty of problems, specifically the left tackle and right tackle spot when people try to figure out why have they not got some stuff down the field, why are Mahomes' numbers maybe a little bit down. It's why when I look at Tank Dell and I see his productions dropped off, Nico Collins has come back for you guys and you're starting to see some of the production come back there. But is that why also a guy like Tank Dell has not had the season that people were expecting? Has it all come back to the offensive line?
Part of it does, yeah. I mean, a good chunk of this goes back to the offensive line. Part of this also goes back to the beginning of the year when you had Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell all in the lineup. And look, Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, just didn't know how to divvy up the throws. I mean, last year, you know, you go back to 2023, and the success of this team was, if you're open, you get the football. But when they brought in Stephon Diggs, it really seemed like they tried to force the ball to Nico a certain number of times, force the ball to Steph a certain number of times. Like they're trying to make sure each guy gets their touches and keeps them happy. And it made the offense choppy. You know, they were fortunate that, you know, there were some times earlier in the year where they were able to run the football. And Joe Mixon has been a godsend for this team because everything that Joe Mixon picks up on the ground is almost always all Joe Mixon. It's not because there's some huge hole for him to go through. It's Mixon's ability to see cutback lanes and find, you know, find yards that weren't there.
We're talking to and Patrick Traden from Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Sorry to cut you out there. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when those cutback lanes aren't there, you get like what you saw last week from the Texans where, you know, they've got 30 yards on the ground. This is just kind of how it goes with the Houston Texans. The offensive line is still extremely inconsistent. And it doesn't matter what team you are. You could be the worst pass rush in the league. If you stunt, they can't block it. All year long, doesn't matter who, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter why. If you stunt, the Texans can't block it. And Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best in the business. I'm 100% certain he's going to have some new looks for the Houston Texans offensive line that they're going to have trouble with, because the middle of that line, left guard, center, right guard, those guys have been awful this year. And I feel like Kansas City has this really big, prominent defensive player right smack in the middle of the defensive line. Guy wears 95, like some people have heard of him. And how the hell they're going to block him, I don't know.
We're talking to Patrick Crane from Sports Radio 610 in Houston. I would say, on the flip side, that's kind of what people are saying here about how the heck are they going to protect Mahomes against a guy like Will Anderson, against someone like Daniil Hunter, knowing the tackle problems and a Texans team that's about to break a franchise record in sacks. Is the expectation there in Houston that, like, that's the name of the game for this one? If the Texans are to win, they're going to have to just cause all sorts of problems for Patrick Mahomes in this offensive line?
You know, Alex, coming into the year, we all thought, oh, the Texans are going to have this dynamic, explosive offense, and the defense has a chance to be pretty good. And now here we are towards the end of the season, and it's like, the defense is really freaking good as long as they don't give up 70-yard chunk plays. And the offense is kind of like barely getting by. And this has become a defensive-oriented team. They won last week against the Miami Dolphins because the defense was great, and they made special teams plays. The offense really only got a couple of short field scores. So the defense is going to be what's going to win this game for the Houston Texans. They're going to have to get after Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, normally it's not an easy thing to do because, you know, look, Patrick's a pretty mobile quarterback. He's dealing with an ankle injury right now. So not sure how mobile he might be right now. But how they block Daniil Hunter, how they block Will Anderson, with the Chiefs having their issues at tackles and the Texans having their issues on the interior line, it's like each team's offensive line's weakness plays to the other team's strength. This might not be a very high-scoring game.
I'm kind of with you. I think we're trending towards an under in this particular game with where the lines are set in Vegas, and obviously for those of you in Kansas side here betting on FanDuel, for example. But I think the weird thing about the Texans from afar, and you can tell me if this is how Texans fans view them, they're, to me, like a slightly above average football team this year. I put them maybe slightly above a Broncos or Chargers team, which is not where I thought they were going to be. I had them playing the Chiefs in the AFC title game this year. I would be surprised at this point if that's the AFC title game that we get. The Texans fans there have hope at all that they can get things figured out come playoff time and go on a run, or is there a realization that this might be a Texans team that is one and done?
I think most fans are leaning more towards the pessimistic side of things right now. And really, it's all because of the offense. The offense has not been able to get on track. Now, this is going to be their second week where they're going to roll out, you know, their right tackle, Titus Howard, at left guard. And they're going to put their rookie, Blake Fisher, at right tackle. This was the, you know, the new offensive line alignment for last week, the first time they played. I mean, they really only started playing Titus on Friday in practice last week at that position. And Friday is kind of a walkthrough, so they really kind of slapped it together there. They've had injuries at left guard. You know, Juice Scruggs is a foot injury. He's probably out for the year. And Kenyon Green is coming back, but he was so bad that I don't think they want to put him back there, certainly not this year. I don't know if he's got a role on this team next year. So for right now, because of the lack of depth they have at the guard position, they've had to move their right tackle to play left guard and put their rookie in at right tackle. And we're going to see how well this alignment progresses over the next couple of weeks. It looks like this is what it's going to be for them going forward and into the postseason. You know, right now you look at, like, wow, you could four seed, you know, as the division champion, and you got to play the Baltimore Ravens first week, you know, wild card weekend. I don't know how good you feel about that if you're a Texans, because Lamar Jackson's 4-0 against the Houston Texans. And boy, if there's anybody else I could see, would I rather see the Broncos or the Chargers every day of the week? So, and then of course, you know, you get the Texans, you're going to play the Chiefs on Saturday, and then Christmas Day. Oh, look, it's the Ravens. So, yeah, it's definitely a trial by fire for this new revamped offensive line, and they've kind of got to get it together, and they got to get it together in a hurry, or they might very well be a one-and-done team in the postseason.
couple more minutes here with Patrick Craden from our sister station down in Houston, Sports Radio 610. You brought up the short turnaround. It's been a huge topic here. The three games in 10 or 11 days, playing the Texans Saturday, then they got to go on the road on Christmas Day to play at Pittsburgh. And I think outside of Kansas City, a lot of people hear that as like whining, hey, there's all these other teams have to do that as well. The complaint here is that, hey, well, the Chiefs had a week six bye, Patrick, and Chris Jones publicly said, hey, if you're going to have late in the year 3 and 10 days, okay, that's fine, but you got to give these teams late season byes. The Chiefs had week six. I think the Texans and Ravens had a week 14 bye. That's where fans here are frustrated.
No, and you should be. You know, I mean, look, the Texans had a week 14 bye. Man, they were beat to hell going into that game. And, you know, coming into the bye week. So, yeah, you know, on one hand, you bye early in the week, in the year, like week six, and then you've got to play 3 and 10 days at the end of the year. That's insane. And whoever thought this up, like, literally should be launched into the moon or a rocket ship, probably made by SpaceX, because it'll blow up before it gets there. But when you get into, like, hey, you get your bye week, week 14. Okay, well, your team is beat to hell. Come out, okay, now play 3 and 10 days. It's like, well, all right, well, we're finally getting some kind of rest, and now you're going to kick our ass again. So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And it really points to the NFL. If they want to continue to do this, they're going to need to expand the schedule, and you're going to need to go to two bye weeks.
Last one for you, Patrick. How do you, in the guys in Houston, view the Chiefs? You know, we know the national narrative is, of course, they're the luckiest team. Their point differential is not any good. There's one fraction, one faction of the Chiefs fan base that would say, all right, this team's not good enough to go to the Super Bowl. Then there's other fans that would say, hey, this team last year, people counted them out and they figured it out in the playoffs. Where are you kind of at when you watch the Chiefs?
Well, Alex, as you know, I am not above putting the tongue firmly in the cheek. And listen, we know that every referee group in the NFL 100% always favors the Kansas City Chiefs. They get every call. Yeah. Like, how many times we got to hear that narrative? That's the kind of thing. It's just like, all right, like, we watch enough games to know, like, this is not like the 2017, 2015, like, Golden State Warriors, where they literally get every call. You know, Kansas City is just a really damn good team. And, you know, you get a Hall of Fame quarterback. Well, I don't care how good or bad a regular season he's having. When the money's on the line, Patrick Mahomes can elevate his game higher than anybody else can elevate their game. So, they are the Kansas City Chiefs. They are the two-time defending champs. And anybody who is going to give any disrespect to them does so at their own peril. And that's why they're 13-1. You're not 13-1 because, oh, man, you're so lucky. Oh, man, I can't believe you got away with this. It's 13-1. So I think most fans still, especially here, still look at Kansas City as, that's Kansas City. They always beat us. Patrick Mahomes is still quarterback God. And until proven otherwise, that's how it should be.
Patrick Craden from Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Great to have you on the show, man. Good to hear from you. Happy holidays. Best wishes and everything to the family as well.
Appreciate you, brother. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you.